In 1977, Elvis Presley died on the crapper, leaving millions of music fans somber and creating a generation of toilet truthers. In 1999, pop star Carney Wilson underwent gastric bypass surgery live on the internet. Her surgeon provided audio commentary, accidentally inventing the podcast. In 2007, I, Daniel Diesel, created this show, Where Ohio Throws Down. Ohio is on fire. We feature the best in Ohio music, the most intriguing Ohio stories, and in-depth talk with Ohio people. Listen to new live shows every Monday at 6 p.m. on WWSU 1069.org. Download the podcast every Friday at the Eventide Podcast Network on Spreaker.com and anchor.fm/Ohio is on fire show. Subscribe to our official webpage with over 900 members at facebook.com/Ohio is on fire show. Well, I'm in the shower. I'm afraid to wash my hair, but I'm not afraid of the show. Where Ohio Throws Down, Ohio is on fire. We are live with another new episode. This is episode 178, and it's the Halloween special 2018.
Woo!
Yes, we're having a good time here. But for this episode, I am joined by my two co-hosts. We got Maxwell Patton.
Hola.
And hello, and then we got Titus Wayne back again. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, but welcome to the show once again. I want to ask you guys before we get into our first segment, how's your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was really fun. We had a silent disco at Therapy Cafe.
Silent disco. So how does a silent disco work?
It's three different DJs, my friends Kim, John, and Sexbox, also known as Dylan. They are playing different music, and you've got a pair of wireless headphones that has a channel selector on it.
Okay.
You can bounce back and forth between each DJ.
I genuinely thought the third guy's name was going to be
Kim Jong-un. Oh, no, but that's when Kim and John DJ together. That's their DJ partner name, Kim Jong-un.
All right, that's very clever. Well, I've never experienced silent disco before. Of course, I don't like disco, so maybe it's good that it's silent. All right, I didn't mean to slam on your music.
No, if you don't like the music, you can always just come without headphones. It's fun.
Well, that's true. There you go. Yeah, I didn't mean to slam on your music, Titus. I'm sure it's hip. But I tell you what, I think the people of Cleveland had a bad weekend because in the span of 24 hours, Hugh Jackson and Tyronn Lue was both fired from their jobs as head coaches, respectively, of the Cleveland Browns and Cleveland Cavs. So, yes, it happened literally today. It happened this morning. Like, this morning it was Tyronn Lue, and like an hour later it was Hugh Jackson. So it happened, like, back-to-back. So Cleveland, sucks to be you. We still have our head coaches, and you do not. But cheer up, because it's the Halloween special. And I think it's now time for everyone's favorite segment. It's now time for O-M-V. P, and that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, this segment of OMVP, it goes to someone or a group of people from Ohio that did something weird or interesting in the state of Ohio, and there's always a backstory that goes with OMVP. So I'll start with the story, and I'll get thoughts from Maxwell and Titus on this. This is from newsherald.com. The article is Ohio teen charged with breaking into school to cheat on test. So me a little bit, and this happened in Springboro, Ohio. A judge has ordered a high-achieving 17-year-old boy accused of breaking into his high school to cheat on a test remain in custody at a Southwest Ohio juvenile detention center. WLWT-TV reports the teen appeared in Warren County Juvenile Court on Friday, where Judge Joseph Kirby ordered him detained despite arguments from his attorney that the teen has a 3.4 grade point average and is enrolled in honors and advanced placement courses. Police say the teen twice broke into Springboro High School early Thursday and was escorted out of the building by custodians twice. The school was closed Friday while police conducted a security sweep. The teen's attorney said Friday was the first time his client has missed a day of high school, and that includes junior high. So this kid had missed school in 6 years, and
wow.
Then he got sent to juvie because the... So that was the end of the... That was a really short article. So here in this report, Titus and Max, what do you think of this?
I don't...
Your initial
think
thoughts.
They should have sent him to juvie. I think that takes a lot of dedication to break into school. I think they should have given him extra credit.
Here's the thing that's very unusual for him, for what this kid did. Most people break into schools to conduct pranks or to steal food,
right,
or to do all sorts of shenanigans. This kid was trying to learn.
He's just trying to be resourceful, man. That's
yes.
Yeah, I cannot say it surprises me.
That's he's got upper management written all over him.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And I got further updates on how this kid did this. Apparently, there was a copy of the test that was in one of the, I guess, the teacher that he had. I guess he had like a spare room where he kept the test. And so, and this kid knew exactly where this was. So that's how he was able to know what to look for. And he just wanted to study. It didn't sound like he was trying to cheat. The issue was that he broke into the school. You can't break in. That is against the law. Oh. But I think the kid needs counseling. That sounds like, I think he suffers from depression.
Parents are probably really hard on him if he's going back far. Yeah, for him to want to
cheat because he has a 3.4. His parents right. said he didn't have a 4.0. So he has a lot of pressure on him. Now, people might be wondering who I'm going to give the OMVP award to because it's a very weird situation. You got the 17-year-old boy, then you got Judge Joseph Kirby, and you got the police of Springboro. So we got three different choices. And for the first time ever, I want a unanimous vote for OMVP. I've never done this before, but since I have two co-hosts with me, I want a unanimous vote. Who do you guys think should be OMVP? The 17-year-old boy, Judge Joseph Kirby, or the Springboro police? What do you guys think?
My vote's for the kid, man.
The kid.
My heart goes out to him.
Kid, you sound like a good kid. Just don't do anything stupid. Hope you'll get out of jail soon. I imagine you won't be in there long. And you will do great things in life as long as you don't break in.
He could be the next Batman for all we know.
Yes. He could be Red Hook. He sounds like a Red Hook kind of guy. With that, 17-year-old boy from Springboro, Ohio, who broke in to learn so he can be smart and get a 4.0. You are for this episode of Ohio's on Fire. OMVP. And it stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Round of applause. All right. And of course, I'll give a little update before I go to commercial. The World Series is almost over. Of course, my Reds and Indians did not make it to the postseason. But another big news thing happened earlier in the week. The Reds hired a brand new manager. His name is David Bell. And for those of you that don't know who David Bell is, for anyone that's a baseball sports fan, he played Major League Baseball for 14 years as a player. And he's been a coach in the Reds minor league system before, like for 4 years worth. And then he's been the bench coach for St. Louis and for San Francisco last year. And also, he is from Ohio. He's a native of Cleveland, Ohio. And he went to Archbishop High School in Cincinnati and played for the baseball team, the same baseball team that legends like Barry Larkin and Ken Griffey Jr. played for during their high school years. And I do applaud this decision. I know he's not a sexy name. Like, there was Joe Girardi and Matt Manti, a bunch of other names out there. So he's not the sexiest. He wasn't the sexiest of names out there, but I like it. He understands Ohio baseball. He understands the history, and he's never had a bad track record. Everything he's done, he's had some decent success. So I applaud it. So salute to my Cincinnati Reds fans that's out there. Of course, me and Joshua Pena, he's alumni of the station. I teased him for years. I should have been Barry Larkin. I think he could be a good manager, but I think he's not. He decided he wasn't ready. But this was a good alternative. Like, there had to be an alternative. I like this. So Joshua Pena, if you're out there, I like this decision. And Barry Larkin, he'll join the team one day, maybe as a president, perhaps a new manager. I guess if David Bell fails, maybe then they go with Barry Larkin. So we'll see about that.
I can see that.
I could, absolutely, yeah.
Actually, my best friend in the entire world, Dylan Adams, aka DJ Sexbox. And I wanted to dedicate this track to his mother, Melanie Adams. This is Technology.
are live with Ohio is on fire, the Halloween special. Of course, I'm here with Titus and Maxwell. I have my first guest of the evening. He is a comic book artist from Ohio, and he is on the rise. He's a man of many talents, and we want to get to know him tonight. He is the one only, Frank James Bailey. Say hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hello. All right. I love that.
I'm always a smart aleck.
Well, Frank, I've waited a long time to have you on my show, and you're finally here, but I want to talk to you. We want to talk to you for a little bit so we get to know you. Now, you do voices, and you draw, so I am curious. When you was a little kid, did you do a lot of doodling and watch a lot of cartoons?
Now, just so you know, I'm not an artist, okay? Oh, I don't draw. I can draw a little bit, but I can barely draw stick figures. I'm not really a drawer, an artist. I had to hire artists to do my Turkana books.
Yes.
I found an artist out of India. I actually found him on Fiverr.com. He charges a lot more now than just $5. But anyway, that's where I found him. And then been became friends with him since like 2015. So he's been an artist ever since.
And you do a lot of writing then.
I do a lot of writing, correct. Yes, I write screenplays. I write the books and that kind of stuff, yes.
Now, did you start this as a little kid? Well, I guess I'll ask you this. What was you like as a little kid?
When I was in high school, I wrote what now would be called fan fiction. Did you ever hear of a TV show called The Voyagers? It had a little Omni in his hand, and he would go through time and stuff. Anyway, that was the early 80s. Anyway, I wrote myself in that show, and then I wrote myself into other shows. It's kind of like fan fiction, you know? So, but that was way back when, and now I write... Turkana is basically kind of a homage to my daughter, because when I... started writing it, my daughter was originally going to be Princess Paige, because her name is Paige.
Yes.
But then it formed into something else, and I went into something else. So it's now Turkana, and the alter ego of Turkana is a girl named Paige. She's the high school student.
Absolutely. Now, something else that you did for a little while before you started getting into comic books, you worked in terrestrial radio here here in Ohio. Now, how'd you get into that field?
I went to the Ohio School of Broadcasting in 1988.
Okay.
And I went my first job in Cleveland, Ohio at a radio station called WRQC in 1989, I believe. But I was only part-time, but I was lucky enough to get in a major market weekends.
Yeah.
So that's where I got my start in radio. And I went from there, went to Canton, Ohio. Then I went to the Akron-Canton area and came back up to Cleveland again, worked at Light Rock 106 and a half for a little while.
Yeah.
Then I went doing Midnight to Six at another station in Canton, when it was country. Matter of fact, I was the outlaw Frank James at a country station. So it was it was funny to have a cowboy hat and be the outlaw Frank James. But it was something that people knew. They knew it right away when they heard the outlaw Frank James.
A cowboy in Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh. Then I went to Youngstown, Ohio and did the same thing. It was a country station out there I worked at for a while.
Okay.
Then I also worked Findlay and then in Salina, Ohio. That was my last job in Salina, Ohio. I've been doing writing and voiceovers ever since then, though.
Absolutely. Now, when you was doing radio, what do you recall as being your favorite on-air moment or moments?
Well, you see, here's the thing. I don't really have a favorite moment. I have a more memorable moment. And the more memorable moment, and you're going to love this, okay? You see, you have turntables over there. Now, do you ever hear of, like, the Casey Kasem countdown? Countdown, American Top 40. Well, back then, in 1988 and 89, it was on record. It was on vinyl record.
Yeah.
And I was working, you know, kind of a college kid or going to school and stuff, and... Well, I was in charge of running that thing, you know, running the countdown. And you know how records are, at the very end of the middle of it, they go, when the needle hits the end of it.
Yes.
Well, I fell asleep on their couch.
Yeah.
And for like 15 minutes, all you heard on the air was,
oh, no.
So that's a memorable thing. It's not the best moment of mine, obviously.
That's not dead air, because people can hear something.
Exactly.
But that might be the next.
It's white noise there.
It's but it's a memorable, and I'm surprised I was never fired. I really was. I wasn't fired. It's like, you know, it's mistakes. Yeah. Matter of fact, another jock on the air said, listen, I've made mistakes too.
Yeah.
Don't fire him. Just take him off the schedule for a while, but just don't fire him. And I didn't, I ended up leaving there going somewhere else. So.
Oh, that's something. I've been told definitely a lot over the years that the worst thing for radio is dead air.
Yeah.
I think the next thing above that is like you just described.
So. Your thing to do in terms of voice work so far.
Well, some of the voice work that I do, most of it isn't animation, or most of it isn't like cartoon stuff. Most of it is like radio and TV commercials, podcast openings, explainer videos. I've done a lot of stuff for a YouTube channel called Channel Frederator. They have this thing called 107 Facts About Blah, Blah, Blah. And I did one for 107 Facts About Pinky and the Brain. they hired me to do another series called Disney's Dark Secrets. And I also did another video for them called Then Versus Now, My Little Pony. Because I'm kind of a brony. I like My Little Pony a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did a lot of videos for them on their YouTube channel. But I've also done radio and TV commercials. I've done some stuff, which is then they called NDR, which I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
They hire me. I can't talk about it until it comes out. And sometimes when I sign these contracts, I can't talk about it at all because, hey, yeah, you're the voice, but here's the money, and we're going to pretend you really... I can't say anything about it. All right. Couple times that happens. But anyway, the last job I did, which was obviously might not even be heard here, but was announcements for this convention in Dubai.
Yes.
And it was like, coming up next, our ladies and gentlemen, may have your attention, please. The so-and-so, so-and-so is about to start.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. You know, I've done a couple of book trailers.
Cool.
Very minor book movie trailers. Yeah. I love doing that in a world. You know, that kind of voice.
I love that. In a world. All right. Next one. You got some more. You got some more, buddy.
All right. Of course, this Ohio's on Fire. It's a very, a lot of variety in terms of music. What sort of music do you like to listen to?
I tend to listen to a lot of 80s pop and 80s rock songs, but I also like top 40. But the only thing I'm not really into that much is classical and maybe country. I worked in country for a while. I liked it, but I'm just not that much into it anymore. But I love the top 40 stuff. But really, really gets me like, oh, it's nostalgia, is like the 80s pop stuff, like Bon Jovi, Def Leppard,
Duran Duran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, love Duran Duran.
Yeah, they're pretty good. All right, Maxwell.
Yeah, that one. There you go. All right, and also, since you do a lot of writing and artwork, could you take us through a day in terms of that?
Well, like I said before, I don't do that much artwork, but I do, like, just recently, I had talked to my guy about, my artist, about doing a page for my comic. I have an upcoming comic. Hopefully, I'll have it in time for my first Comic-Con of next year,
yes,
which will be in Toledo, but I'm also going to the Gem City Comic-Con, too.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I'll have my first comic book done. I'm going to have it like a 16 or 24-page comic. I'm only on page 8 right now.
Yeah.
But I have to tell him, hey, don't take the the person here. You got to put them there. Or, hey, her face is pointing this way. You need to point it that way. And so I got to tell him what to do and what to point the characters and make sure they're done right.
But so it's more art direction than
yeah, it's kind of like art direction, exactly. Yeah. I'm telling him because there was a part in the one he just did where this girl Brittany says, "Oh, hey, look out!" Well, she's not looking at the person that and the Turkana, the main character, she's looking up in that direction, but she shouldn't be looking at it because she's telling her, "Hey, look out!" So I had to tell him switch their faces, or no, I mean that's what you know. I mean their. When Turkana was looking one way, she had to look the other way, that kind of thing. So I had to switch that. But most of my first three books are novels. They're illustrated novels. And you can find them on Turkana.com, which is www.turkana.com.
Yes.
And just for the next couple of days left, anyway, if somebody wanted to read Turkana Book 2, Dr. Kuna Bananagum, they can do it for free right now on the website.
Awesome. All
because
right.
I had a promotion, well, sort of a thank you.
Yeah.
Because on Facebook, I have a Facebook like page, which only has like maybe 1,500 people liking it.
Yeah.
But the Facebook fan club has over 4,000 people in the fan club.
That's impressive. That's
which
good. That's
good
audience.
Which impresses me, and I'm humbled by it.
Yes.
So for thanking people to get me into 4,000 members, what I did was I said, hey, you can read Turkana Book 2, Dr. Kuna Bananagum, for free up until November 1st.
Absolutely.
So if you want to read the book for free, go to, but of course, I'll be at a Comic-Con. You can buy it and have it in your hand and signature and everything else. But just to read it, there you go.
All right. Well, thank you for the questions, Maxwell. Now, our other co-host, Titus Wayne, he's got about three questions for you. So take it away, Titus.
So, Frank, I was doing a little research, and I actually started reading Turkana. And I noticed some of the names of the characters. In particular, there's one character early in the prologue named Bardock.
Okay.
Are you a Dragon Ball fan?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. So where do you get the inspiration for some of your character names? Because some of them are pretty creative.
Some of those characters in the prologue of the first book were sort of created by a guy named Don, a friend of mine. He helped me do the prologue. But all the other stuff was my thing. See, I had to come up with some unique names for people on Battlecore 3 because they're purple people.
Yeah.
You know, and Turkana wants to get off that planet.
Yeah.
So I want to give him some unique names, so he helped me with the unique names. And I had no idea that it was a Dragon Ball thing.
Yeah, well, that's the son of our father of Goku, Bardock. Okay,
yeah. I had no idea.
I just thought maybe there was a connection there.
Nope. Yeah. Sometimes people think there's connections to some things, and sometimes I just, well, yeah, I've never seen it before, so I had just no idea.
Coincidence.
Just a coincidence, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you know, being, well, so Turkana, you know, like you talked about a little bit about like how it's based off your daughter, that kind of answered the first part of my question. But, you know, I see her as kind of a pretty positive role model for girls in general, especially young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you were, that was, you know, maybe intentional? Did you see something like something lacking in the comic book universe already that you wanted to add to, or?
Well, what I've noticed, I was a big fan of Kim Possible. And I, at the time, she was a big fan of Kim Possible. This is like 4 or 5 years ago when I first started developing this.
Yeah.
And if you look at Turkana, she has that dark lip. But that's the only thing that's even close to Kim Possible at all. It's just that lip.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, when I first started writing Turkana, I wanted her to give some powers people know, but yet, you know, are similar and people can recognize right away. I want to make constructs, but I'm going to give her limited constructs. Like, she's not like Green Lantern. She can't make anything.
Right.
You know, the bigger that is, the faster it disappears. The smaller it is, the longer it'll stay.
Yeah.
You know, she can't make air or water either. So she's very creative with her constructs. And they come out looking like lightning bolts.
Yeah.
You know.
Very, kind of reminds me almost of Avatar The Last Airbender with the lightning bending.
Yeah, well, it's very similar because, see, I was influenced when I created Turkana, I was influenced by Avatar The Last Airbender, Danny Phantom, Kim Possible, the original Teen Titans. I love those drama type of shows,
yeah,
from way back when. I mean, Teen Titans Go is okay if you're silly.
It's not early 2000s Teen Titan, though.
No, exactly, it's not. Again, same with Avatar, though, too. I would love, if this ever turns into a cartoon, is to turn it into a serialized cartoon where you see everything that, toward the end, kind of similar to Avatar. I mean, I think Star vs. the Force of Evil is kind of similar to that, too.
Yeah.
There's a serialized storylines, and they go, and then there's a very end of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I really want for it somewhere down the road. But I know I have to get more fans. I have to get more people to buy the book. And I'm in the middle or almost done with the cartoon pitch. But just because I write the cartoon pitch doesn't mean they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I got to make sure it's perfect. And then, okay, here it is. Check this out. This is what I'm offering you. That kind of thing.
Well, and then that actually answers my third question already, because I was going to say, if you had any plans, you know, to do a cartoon or maybe a movie or something, you know, maybe even pitch it to Netflix.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. But, of course, I'm learning. There's a guy named Eric Calderon. He writes cartoons. Been doing it for, like, quite some time. And every time he posts a video on his YouTube channel, I always share it, because I've learned a lot of knowledge from this guy about making and doing cartoons. He can't draw either, which is something in common with me. So he writes and he directs and produces cartoons, but I want to turn this into a cartoon, even though I can't draw.
Right.
You know, so I'm
hoping... But you can collaborate with artists who can. And
exactly.
Yeah, you can be the creative vision behind all of it.
And I want it to look good, but I don't want it to look cartoony. I mean, like, you know, like Teen Titans Go or something.
Right. Not chibi anime style.
Yeah. A little bit like anime style. Yeah, I like that. And somebody told me that a lot of anime stuff is really dramatic.
Yeah.
There's good storylines.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm a fan.
That's the storyline. That's what I'm crossing my fingers for. Somewhere way down the road is to turn it into a cartoon.
Well, really cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the questions, Titus Swain. Now, I got a few more questions for you, Frank. Most people get to know you through these convention appearances, because I first met you at Gem City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. I've seen you at the Rosewood Arts Center for their Suburbia Con. Now, what are the ones that on a yearly basis that you attend that you've been to more than one that you really like? Like, besides Gem City, because they're awesome, what else is out there that you really enjoy?
Well, I go to another one called Fantasticon, which is in Toledo. Well, they're also a lot more in Michigan, too, but I go to the ones in Fantasticon in Toledo, Toledo, Ohio, and another one in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah.
Now, the last one in Fort Wayne, the first two of them were in Fort Wayne, were Halloween weekend. So they're really packed. They're really good. But this year, they switched it. This year, they was in like late September, and it wasn't as big as crowd.
Yeah.
But I love going to the one in Toledo, and I'm already scheduled to go to that one next year. Matter of fact, that's probably where I'm going to debut the Turkana comic book next year in Toledo.
Awesome.
Again, I'm going to Gem City in April.
Yes.
I also go to the, you've probably been to this one before maybe, since it's in Dayton area. It's at Wright State University every year, which is the Jim and Dan Comic and Toy Show.
I've been to one of them, yes.
Yeah, they have four of them a year. I only go to one of them because I think, okay, you got four of them. Why go to all four? You know, just go to one and be fine.
Yeah.
So this way, Hey, hello.
Hello, we got fans. Yeah. Yes.
Go so ahead. Anyway, yeah, I go to that one. I went to one a couple of years ago. I went to the Indiana Comic Con a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was okay, but I made a mistake of only having one book available at a big Comic Con. Okay. So next year I'll have three books, a comic book.
Yeah.
I'm going to the Indie PopCon. I went there in 2017. Had a blast. I love the Indie PopCon.
Yeah.
They had a lot of pop culture stuff. A lot of YouTubers.
Yes, yeah, they got some good stuff. Well, so, have you been to Cincy Comic Con and or Cincy Comic Expo in Cincinnati?
I haven't been to that one, but I want to go to that one.
I recommend it. I've been to one of those, and it's amazing. I think the second biggest one, I think the three biggest ones in Ohio, of course, number three is Gem City.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the one in Wizard World in Columbus. Number one, the biggest Comic Con is the Cincy Comic Expo. Stan Lee went to it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They have pop culture icons as well. So hopefully one day you get to be a featured, you have a featured table there.
Yeah.
You'll do business. I guarantee.
Crossing my fingers. You never know. But I went to the Akron Comic Con a couple times, which is coming up, I think, this weekend in Akron.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I've been to there. I'm not going there this year. I went there the past 2 years.
Right.
A couple times when I went to these Comic Cons, I did a panel on voice acting, how to get started in voice acting, that kind of stuff. But you know, I'm not doing
like
it this year, but
that panel.
What's up?
Said I'd really like to attend a panel like that.
Yeah. I did it, I think, the past 2 years at Gem City.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I have time for one more question. Besides, you do a lot of things. You do the Terracona series. Of course, you got the fan page for it. But tell us, since holidays are coming, where can fans find things
Turkana.
Related to Terracona? I keep I've said it right before. I keep twisting. Where can fans find news on that? Plus, any other project that you are involved with? At all. Where can fans find out about you?
Well, you can go to Terracona.com, which is www.terracona.com.
Yes.
You can go there. You can check out all three books. I put the first four chapters of each book on the website.
Yes.
Plus, I put, this is interesting too, I put the not a bio page. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A character page.
Yes.
But if you go to the character page and you click on more or click on here to find out more about it, there's an extended bio.
Yes.
So you can find out how tall they are, how short they are,
man.
You know, and what their likes. And, you know, when, this one's the nerdy kid. This one's the, you know, in the karate or whatever else, you know. But you get to find out a little more about them by going into the extended bio.
Yeah.
Again, like I mentioned before, you can also read book two up until November 1st for free on Terracona.com.
Yes, on the actual website.
On the actual website, Terracona.com. Of course, I have the two Facebook things, which is
The Terracona fan club, or I probably said that wrong, or fan community.
It's a Terracona fan club.
Yes.
Well, and the other thing though is their Terracona like page. It's like a business page.
Yeah.
I made that first 3 or 4 years ago, but not too many people, and I always had to buy ads to keep it going.
Yeah.
Once I went and made a group, they started pouring in.
All right.
So yeah. And of course, if you want to find me and my voice work stuff, you can go to frankjamesbailey.com.
Okay.
And I'm also on Twitter, which is Frank J. Bailey, and on Instagram as well, Frank James Bailey.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And we'll have more with Frank in a little bit. And we are back live with Ohio is on Fire. And of course, I'm Daniel Diesel. And of course, the band will be playing soon. But right now, we have all the people in here. We got me, we got Frank James Bailey, Maxwell Titus. And of course, we got Junior Senior, Narek Roth Patterson, and of course, Isaiah. The seven of us are going to play a special game. But before we do that, we do have a fan question for Frank. His name is AJ. He's from West Carlisle, Ohio. And of course, he went to my Facebook page to ask this. He wants to know, is there a union or there's not a union for comic book writers and artists? Then do you think there should be a union for comic book artists and writers?
If there is, I don't know about it, but on one end, I think there should be, because there's also a union for directors. There's a union for actors. You know, there should be a union for comic book artists, too. I think so.
It's cool. I would agree with that. I think unions are good because it protects people. They have, the NFL has a union. So should comic book writers. That's a good question. So yeah, I think there should be a union. All right. Thank you for that question, AJ. Now let's get to a little game here. We're going to have some fun here on this Halloween edition of Ohio's on Fire. What it is, we're going to play a game called Trick or Treat. And what it is, how the game works, a person will ask another for either a trick or a treat. If someone asks another for a treat, the receiver of that question must perform a secret talent, such as maybe a voice, or maybe they do some weird with their hand that can be broadcasted over the radio. So, yeah, some type of special talent that they can show us. And if treat is asked, then one must reveal a secret or a strong opinion about himself or someone that you know that they're willing to share on the radio. So, we guys ready? Ready? All right.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So I'm gonna start with Titus. So we'll go around. I will tell Titus either trick or treat. He must do that.
Okay.
So Titus, I already got to know you a little bit from a few weeks ago. That would be the treat part, which is the secret. So yeah. With that, I want you to give me a trick. Tell me, show us a talent or do something that.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting.
I don't have a lot of radio-friendly material, but I guess I can tell you the dumbest joke I've ever written.
Do it, yes.
I was driving down the street the other day, and I saw a sign that said huge tire sale, but I have a Honda Civic, so I just kept driving.
Okay. Nice. Good job. All right, now you have to ask. Now, that is Nearcroft Patterson Sr. You got to tell him a trick or a treat. He must do it.
All right, how about a trick?
Okay. What tricks do I
What have? Can you do? Can you toss your hat in the air like backwards or something? Can you flip something?
I can't do that.
Because flipping her eyelids open is good for radio.
Okay, impressions?
Yeah.
Okay, now you have to guess what I am.
Sure, Nerick. I said, man, we've got to hammer it up because you know what? I mean, Sheboygan, buddy. What are you talking about, son? Play the bass already.
I'm not really sure who that is, to be honest.
Okay.
Sounds like Chaos from a cartoon I saw.
Yeah, oh, that sounded good. All right. Good job, man.
Sounds like Lois
Family. Right.
Okay, so now I have to ask Isaiah?
Yes, you have to ask. Do you have to tell him do a trick or a treat? And he has to do it.
You have to do
a treat. So share a secret about yourself or a strong opinion.
Well, I don't have many, many secrets. I'm pretty open, but I guess one thing that they don't know about me or the world is I once led my basketball team in 3-point percentage and free throw percentage.
Dope.
All
right.
Nothing too deep, but
all right.
That's all I did was drums and basketball.
All right. All right. Now it's your turn. Yeah, you tell him.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. Junior's pretty funny, so I don't know if I want him to do a trick or a treat. I guess I want to hear a treat from there.
Yes, you got Sarah's secret, Junior.
All right, this is one hell of a secret, and I can promise you I'm going to get a lump of coal for Christmas for telling this.
Okay.
I had sex with Mrs. Claus.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I did it while Santa was out last Christmas delivering presents.
I saw Nair kissing Mrs. Santa Claus. That's be the new hit. That'll be the new hit this holiday season. All right, now you gotta tell Frank to do something.
Considering I'm a voice actor with a voice of many talents, go with the flow.
Yeah, trick, right?
Trick! Is that
yes.
a trick?
Yes, a trick is your voice acting. All right, Frank.
I don't do this very often, but I'm going to try because I haven't done it since high school, but I'm going to try and beatbox for you.
Yes! Oh,
yes.
See, I'm not that good at it.
Yeah!
I was into it.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool beans. Okay, ask Mr. Maxwell.
Trick. Oh, yeah, my microphone.
I don't have any tricks. I don't have any
well,
talents.
Well, in the past, you've done scripts for that's aired here on WSU. You've done some voices. Would you have any voice acting that you would like to show us or impersonations? Can you sing, Maxwell? You should sing. I heard you're a great singer.
I must confess.
Yes.
It's killing me. And I must confess. I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yes.
Yeah, that was dope.
That was better than Brittany.
Yes, yes. All right, now, Maxwell. You gotta ask me to do something. We'll end with that.
Let's go with a treat.
Treat. So a treat is a secret about myself. Okay. My secret. I'm trying to think what to share about. Okay.
Looking for one?
I'm looking for one. Okay. I would say that my secret is that even though I am a straight guy, I support gay marriage. I support the rights of gays. I know where I come from. That's a touchy issue. But yes, I think all if you love each other, you shouldn't let anyone tell you who to sleep with and who to get married. And that's me. Of course, like I said, it's where I come from. That's a touchy subject. I'm not gay myself. I would prefer to be a woman with a woman. But yeah, I do support it. So that's my secret. All right.
All right, my final track selection for the night, and I thank you guys again for listening. This is another one by my best friend Dylan, aka DJ Sexbox. This is Collapse.
In a world where a father and a son get together and create a band, and then they come to Wright State University and rock the faces off the people of Ohio is on Fire and WWSU 169 FM, that world is now a reality. Tonight we have a special live Halloween performance. Ladies and gentlemen, live in the studio, I give you Narek Roth Patterson, the band. Give it up. Thank you. All right. That was Nerecroft Pedersen, the band, with their live performance. Of course, we have some questions for the band, as there were several messages that I got. Of course, the messages were sent to the Heisel and Fire Show Facebook page. So we'll ask them. I'll do these messages first. Some of these are just statements. The first statement I got was the Nerecroft Pedersen band rocks, and I can't wait to see you guys play December 2nd. Your music is out this dimension. That was from Tiny Rick. Do you guys know Tiny Rick?
I know Tiny Rick.
Awesome. All right. And now this one got deleted, but I'll go ahead and re-ask it because it was kind of dicey. So I'll try. This question was for Junior, Nerecroft Jr. It was about the Mrs. Claus thing. They wanted to know if you and Mrs. Claus broke up, did you have an alternative, like perhaps like a revenge partner that you had in mind?
Oh.
This was a question asked.
Tell him absolutely not.
And the question that was asked was way worse, so I had to edit that for radio. But yeah, who would be your revenge partner?
Okay, my revenge partner.
Jackson. The Tooth Fairy.
It could be the Tooth Fairy, but I don't know. I gotta sleep with, have my revenge with the King of the Pumpkin Patch himself, Jack Skellington, for the promotion.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good choice.
Right.
All right. Now I got another. This question came from my Heisel and Fire Show Facebook. This was for Junior and Senior. Besides yourselves, who is your favorite guitarist here in the Dayton, Ohio area?
Favorite guitarist? I'd have to say for me it would be Tim Arnold.
Oh, push the mic up. Here we go.
Grab okay. It. Is that good?
That's good. Go ahead.
Favorite guitarist. One of my favorite guitarists would have to be Tim Arnold.
Tim Arnold. Who, yeah. Who's he from?
He plays with, he moved. He plays in Dayton quite a bit.
Okay.
But people know him all around. He's one of the funnest guitar players I've ever done shows with.
All right. Excellent. And you, Junior?
I've been thinking. I should start looking at the geography. Oh, yeah, my Uncle Eddie is a terrific bass player, though. He plays with a big band, big quartet, and he can walk at bass. I would say guitar-wise, though, I would have to honestly, that'll beat me up if I don't say him, but also, Dad, for real, this guy is an absolute monster, and good God almighty, it's incredible playing with him.
Yes, you guys are a great trio, I should say, because we had a three-piece band here tonight. And we got another comment from Tiny Rick, came in a little bit ago, says, I think I need surgery because NRPB just rocked my face off. All right. Now, Titus and Maxwell, do you guys have any questions for the band? Any thoughts after that performance?
No, it was great.
That was great, yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, all right. So with that, Maxwell's got a question. Yes.
So I was looking you guys up on YouTube. And I saw you opened up for BB King in 2008. How was that?
That was probably one of the greatest things. I think that was my fifth show.
Okay.
Doing his birthday's shows, and we met the first time we had ever done that. And
that was the first or second, because that was my first one on guitar with him. I was a freshman in high school at that point. I was playing guitar then.
Okay. So I believe that was close to his last one. We did five shows together.
Okay.
And that was what a rush. That was great.
While I pre-elaborated, did you talk to BB King? Did you remember? And if you did, what conversations did you guys have?
Well, we used to have a long-standing thing. I had a red 345 named Rose.
Okay.
And he used to always want to buy this guitar from me.
Yes.
And he'd say, man, sell me your guitar. Sell me. I said, no. He says, well, money can buy everything. And I said, but you can't buy this guitar.
So, all right.
this was a long-standing. Over 5 years of his birthday, he was just like, you're gonna give me that guitar for my birthday now? What are you gonna do? So we had a lot of fun talking.
That's
about
amazing.
That,
so. You guys played with BB King. That's wow. That's rock. That's route. That the rock and roll had a Mount Rushmore. He's on there.
Yep.
Okay. Now let's talk about your upcoming music. You guys will have a series of concerts coming up. So tell us about these concerts.
Da da da.
Yes. Da da.
So tomorrow. What's today?
Today's Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Thanks. So tomorrow we're going to actually be in Scully's in Columbus with Didactics. That'll be a real fun show. And Scully's is the official home of the NRPB.
And what time does that start?
8:00.
All right. Doors open at?
7:00.
Cool.
And then, coming up in November, the 7th will be up in Cincinnati at Stanley's.
The 8th will be at the Bethel Road Pub in Columbus. The 9th is Taffy's in Eden. That'll be fun to return. And then the 10th will be back in Kent, Ohio at the Stone Tavern. That's Cincinnati. Okay. And then at the end of the month, we get to actually go with, I know we're playing with Blend, Dark Harbor, a few other bands up at the Bethel Road Pub. And then December 2nd, we're opening for OTEP at Odd Bodies in Dayton, which music does start at 5.
Yes, that sounds awesome. Now, one last question. Where can people find your music? Because I'm holding one of your CDs right now, and I look forward to listening to this. Thank you for giving me a copy of one of your CDs. But where can people find your stuff?
So for the hard copy album, you can go to Nerdcraft Patterson Band/BigCartel.com. Or if you want to be more simplistic, go to ReverbNation.com. There's a band store link right there. Our music is available for streaming and MP3 purchase on every platform.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're on there, bud.
All right. Well, that band, thank you so much for your performance. And I don't know if I'll try to make one of the concerts in the Dayton area. I guess I have a lot of IOUs, but if I don't make it to this, if I don't make it this time, thank you for coming on my show. This is one of my, this might be one of my favorite moments in Ohio's on Fire history, because you guys just rocked it. This is so I'm forever grateful to you three. Thank you so much.
We'd love to do it again, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now with that, I'm gonna go ahead and get to the final message, since these guys will need some time to tear down. So and I'll be brief, because we're having a fun night. But Halloween is coming up. Of course, in my hometown of Xenia, and of course Beaver Creek and other cities. October 31st will be Beggar's Night. Because families will bring their kids and they'll be getting candy door to door. So some quick advice. Maybe check the candy, parents. If you have anyone listening, if you have young kids, make sure they don't eat candy that has anything sticking out of it that doesn't look like food. It's probably not good for you. And some advice on what to wear and what not to wear for Halloween. Maybe if your kid has a hero, maybe make sure that kid dresses up, like, say they like Batman or the Turtles. They'll make sure you buy that costume. And I'll tell you what not to do. Do not do anything that's sacrilegious. Don't do anything that demeans women or men in a sexual manner. And don't do blackface. Please do not do that. I think my band friends would not like that. None of us would either. So don't do it. And Megyn Kelly sucks. Okay. So with that, until next time. Narek Roth Patterson Band, Titus Wayne, Frank James Bailey, in the whole world, in a world, that's the way it is.